Survivors coming back for what I think is their 14th season this Thursday night. And the man who will be running all the tribal councils and all the immunity challenges and reward challenges and all the rest is on the phone with us now. The man who someday will replace Regis, sitting next to Kelly Ripa on a full-time basis. Here is Jeff Probst. Hi, Jeff. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Is that your dream job?
Well, it's certainly one of the best jobs out there. In fact, I was there last Friday.
Yeah, I saw you on there, and I think you and Kelly have a great rapport.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, well, she's easy to work with, I will say that. But to what you were talking about, good jobs, Gelman and I were right before the show, the producer of the show and I were talking, and I said, what are the best jobs that you know of? And he said, Judge Judy has the best job. She works the least amount and makes I can't even tell you how much. I don't want to say the number, but an exorbitant amount of money a year.
Yeah.
Then number two is Pat Sajak, who only tapes 15 weeks a year.
Uh-huh.
And then three, he said, has got to be this job. Regis and Kelly, they come in, they, could theoretically kind of work for, an hour and a half, 2 hours, and make a ton of money.
Yeah, the difference, of course, is if you're going to be the new Regis, it means that you have to go out and do something every night so you have something to talk about on the show the next morning.
You get it. That's exactly it. You have to have a life to talk about. I don't. I sit at home most every day and every night. That is the truth. And that would be boring. That'd be funny for about 4 minutes.
But that's because 6 months of the year you're living in some exotic hotel on the corner of some, bizarre island somewhere.
That's true. That is part of it. That when I come home, I'm just not in the mood. But I'm not a big goer-outer.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And Regis is. He's the king of it.
Yeah, yeah. He loves that lifestyle. He's earned it,
So let's talk about the latest Survivor, which you taped a few months ago and which will start airing on Thursday night. While you were doing it, there was a coup in Fiji.
Yeah.
What's that like?
A little weird. We'd work with the government. Excuse me. We work with the government, so we have intel, and they told us coming in, they said, there's probably going to be a coup at some point. It appears that it will be civil, but the military is going to take over. And we kept hearing this and kept hearing this, and then, sure enough, about 5 or 6 days left, it happened. And we watched it on satellite as they went into the armory and took all the guns from the police and said, we're in charge now. And it was kind of bizarre. Our supplies and flights coming in and out, that stuff got affected, but it didn't have any impact on the survivors on the show. They never knew.
They have no idea what's going on in the outside world, right?
Exactly.
So you and the rest of the crew, you know what's going on. Were you a little worried?
Well, we weren't worried because the government kept telling us, don't worry. They said, don't worry. It is happening. It's a huge thing for our country, and it's going to set us back, two decades. But in terms of violence, the military is telling us there won't be violence, and the government is saying they're not going to retaliate with violence. They're going to try to work it out. So we're going to let them take over, and we'll see what happens.
I love it that the government is telling you everything's okay. Meanwhile, the military is taking over the government.
Yeah, I know. But, you kind of had to just trust them and know that if they were going to hopefully tell you the truth because we're working together. And
yeah.
It did, but it was weird when we left. We were in a little village. We were not in some popular part of Fiji with palm trees and tourists. We were in a little secluded place, and when we left this little village, there were armed military with M16s out there. So it was the real deal.
That might be the only way they could get you to give up the name of the winner.
Yeah, exactly.
We're not armed.
Wouldn't that be funny if you went all the way there and there's a coup and finally the guy who's the new military commander of Fiji says, you're not leaving here unless I know the winner, Probst.
All I really want to know is who won, yeah. Well, it's there are governments where, like Thailand, for instance, where they want to see your tapes because they want to make sure you're not doing anything or saying anything that's disparaging to their country.
Mm-hmm.
So you do have some situations like that where you really have to work with each other.
You'd think by now that they would all know the whole Survivor thing is pretty benign towards whoever the host government is, and nothing's going to go bad.
Yeah, they don't see it that way. There's definitely been some times where it was, we're popping in to take your look at your tapes, and here we come.
And have they ever gotten mad at you?
Nah, because like you said, we're very respectful.
Yeah.
But we get it, you know, we get it. Some people have cultures and they want to protect them.
I do want to ask you about things going badly on the show. Here's a quote from you, Jeff Probst.
Uh-oh.
I can smell it when we do things that aren't right. I cringe when they happen, and I know the audience cringes.
Yeah.
Like what?
Oh, anytime we make, like, I think, well, honestly, I think when we bailed in the Cook Islands after two episodes.
You mean the race thing?
Yeah. I felt a little bit of a, okay, I'll sell it, and I'm going with it, but I think everybody at home is going to go, what? And I think when we did, like, the Outcast during Pearl Islands, where that was the situation where we had people that had been voted out, and Mark always had this idea. He wanted to let the Outcast tribe get one more shot. And it's great in theory. I just never believed it was good in practice.
Mm-hmm.
I never liked it. And I felt, as I was doing it, I felt the audience at home going, what?
Yeah.
These people were voted out. This is crap.
Right. I was one of those. I've seen every episode of Survivor. That's exactly how I felt.
Yeah. And it's true. But then, you know, it's easy for me to, on the flip side, it's easy for me to remember those moments. The truth is, most times we get it right.
Yeah.
And so we try things. And Mark, sometimes even Mark will have a big, strong opinion that we'll have to do. Most times, Mark's right.
I do want to go back to this racial thing on the last episode.
Yeah.
Because the controversy didn't happen until you guys had already finished and edited the show and it was about to air.
Right.
So at what point in doing the show did you guys say, you know what, we shouldn't be doing this? Or was it always planned to just go for 2 weeks?
Yeah, it was always planned. That was sort of the, I would guess, I would call it that. That was the agreement that everybody came to was, you know, there were some people that were very apprehensive about it. The network wasn't sure this was a good idea. Mark was sure it was. So they made an agreement, we'll do it for 2 weeks, and then you bail.
But you think it should have gone on for longer?
Yeah, and I think, again, I'm the guy that doesn't have a franchise like Mark or a network like Moonves to run. Just me being the peon guy who sits out there, I feel like we're doing it. Let's do it. Let's at least go four episodes. Let's go four episodes, and then we can divide them up. But, you know, there's so many complications. Like, as I'm saying that, I'm also remembering that one of the reasons we split the tribes early is because if you let them get too entrenched, then they'll never flip alliances later down the road. So it's a balancing act of what's good for the show, you know?
In the 13 seasons that you've done the show, with number 14 starting up this week, have you ever, at the beginning of the show, been able to pick the winner?
No. No, I picked people who I hoped would win, and you know, did okay. Like, I liked Yule from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't have said Yule's going to win. I think I picked five guys this season, five people, five guys that could win the show is what I say when I meet them. This person can't win, this person could win. And that's about as far as I go. Because I'm an idiot just like anyone else. I'm just watching going, I don't know, you look good to me.
Yeah, and of course, what happens in the show and the alliances that get formed and the ones that get turned on their ear, that's what makes the show so successful.
Yeah.
It's News Talk 1120 KMOX talking with Jeff Probst from Survivor here on the Paul Harris Show. I understand you had somebody who went all the way to Fiji and then quit before the show started.
Yep, it's true. One girl, and, you know, bless her heart, it was too much for her, and she said as much. She started having panic attacks is what happened. And
you mean you hadn't even gotten on the boat yet?
No, had not started the show.
Now, how can she go all the way there, having probably watched previous Survivors, yeah, and that's the panic point?
I don't know. But I know that it was real, and I know she felt bad, but I know that, more importantly, she was having a full-on panic attack. And she had had a history of them. We knew that. We'd talked to her, and our psychologist had talked to her, and everything seemed okay. When she got out there and she started feeling we're getting closer and closer, and there are a lot of press out there that interview them beforehand, and they start saying things like, do you think you can hack it? You know, there's snakes and bugs. And she just started panicking.
Oh, that's good. Now, other people making it worse for them.
So was it at that point that she began, just at the questions from the press?
That's when it started, because all the press who interviewed her, when they found out later, said it doesn't surprise us. She told us she was panicking. And so, people panic. I mean, people do get a little nervous, and usually it goes away. It didn't.
What did you do that left you with an odd number of contestants?
Yeah. It left us with 19, and when you see the show, you'll see that it didn't affect us too much. We have we have so many creative variables on the show that if we know something like that before the show starts, we can alter things down the line. It changes things. It changes having even tribes. It changes how many tribal councils you do, because mm-hmm. we had planned out to do this many tribal councils and have a couple of double tribals or, you know, a surprise tribal. Well, you lose one of those now. So yeah. Where are you going to lose it from? And you got to decide before the show starts, because once it goes, it's going.
Speaking of the people who get on the show, last season Ozzy came in second to Yule, and while the show was running for several weeks, the story got out on the internet that he had done some reality show for Playboy, and he'd actually had sex on camera in a hot tub, and it was ironic that there was a hot tub scene on your show.
Hello.
are you guys aware, is Mark Burnett, the producer, aware of the fact that so many people who want to have showbiz careers or who have done other reality shows also are trying to get on Survivor and becoming successful there?
Yes, we're aware of that.
Is that a worry for you?
Well, we try to, you know, we investigate these guys. I mean, and we really do. We run criminal background checks. We run their SAG cards. We try and find any credits we can find. Ultimately, though, you know, if you lie about something that we can't find, we don't know. And I can tell you that our casting director, Lynn, takes this really seriously, because her speech is, look, there is an implied agreement of consent here. We're going to share. I'm going to tell you what's involved from you. You're going to tell me what's going to come back to haunt you and therefore me. And sure enough, show gets on the air, because he wouldn't have made it. Ozzy would not have gotten through CBS with a quote-unquote softcore porn background.
Mm-hmm.
We would have lost one of our greatest players ever and never known it.
It did explain why he was so good in the water.
But she let him have it. I mean, she was mad, and rightly so. He lied to us. Ultimately, does it really matter? You know, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Kids looked up to him, and he did something racy. Well, he's an adult. That was his choice.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to make those judgment calls.
Hey, free publicity for Survivor. What do we care?
That's kind of how I look at it. It didn't stop anybody from watching.
That's right. So what are the twists to look for in this new season that starts Thursday night?
Well, the big twist is that we divide them based on sort of have and have-nots. And how it plays out is that all 19 of them work together in the beginning to build this massive shelter. We give them blueprints. We give them cut lumber. We give them tools and paint. And it's extraordinary what they build in terms of Survivor. And then we divide them into two groups, and then we have a challenge, and the losers get stuck on a beach with a machete and a pot, and the winners get to live in this luxury shelter. And on top of it, they get a housewarming gift that includes two hammocks, a couch, some cutlery, a sewing machine, plates, silverware, napkins, all this stuff. So we really created kind of a class struggle of the rich and the poor.
So that starts Thursday night. Am I right? It's the 14th season?
Yep, 14th season starts Thursday night.
I'm looking forward to it. It's always a pleasure having you on the show, Jeff.
Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure. It is Jeff Probst, the host of Survivor, going into season 14, Thursday night, 7 o'clock on Channel 4 CBS here in St. Louis. This is the Paul Harris Show on News Talk 1120 KMOX.